From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Revelation of the Wrath of God. The righteousness of God lies at the heart of the Book of Romans. From verse 18 through the end of chapter 1, Paul focuses on the wrath of God against sinners and sin. It's of the utmost importance to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. God's wrath is not a cold, dispassionate thing. Sin is contrary to God's holiness, and He is justly filled with revulsion against it. In spite of the unpopularity of this subject, it is a major theme in both the Old and the New Testaments. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude the first of two messages on the revelation of the wrath of God. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Covenant Reaches Children. The text is Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. O Lord, thou hast made a covenant with me, thy servant, in Christ Jesus my Lord. And now, I beseech thee, let my children be included in its gracious provisions. Permit me to believe this promise as made to me as well as to Abraham. I know that my children are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, even as those of other men. Therefore I ask nothing on the ground of their birth, for well I know that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and nothing more. Lord, make them to be born under thy covenant of grace by thy Holy Spirit. I pray for my descendants throughout all generations. Be thou their God, as thou art mine. My highest honor is that thou hast permitted me to serve thee. May my offspring serve thee in all years to come. O God of Abraham, be the God of his Isaac. O God of Hannah, accept her Samuel. If, Lord, thou hast favored me in my family, I pray thee remember other households of thy people which remain unblessed. Be the God of all the families of Israel. Let not one of those who fear thy name be tried with a godless and wicked household. For thy Son Jesus Christ's sake, amen. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Looking forward to the coming day of judgment, Isaiah 13, verse 13 says, I will shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. Nahum the prophet sums up this view of the character of God in verse 2 of the opening chapter. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, though we have only covered a few texts, that's the testimony of the Old Testament. Of course, liberals don't like to believe much of the Old Testament. They don't believe it's history. They try to explain away its prophecy. They dismiss its laws. And they certainly mock its God. So what does the New Testament say? In Matthew 3, verse 7, we read of the ministry of John the Baptist. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? In John 3, 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the New Testament. We have read tonight in Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed. And as we'll see as we proceed, that's a dynamic statement. It's not it was revealed. It's not just a record of Scripture. It is now being revealed. God is still at work revealing his wrath, as we'll see as we proceed down this chapter. Over in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 5, Paul speaks of those who treasure up to themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And in verse 8, he speaks of those who will have indignation and wrath in that day. In Romans 5 and verse 9, he speaks some more of it. He says, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In chapter 9:22 of Romans, he speaks again of God willing to show his wrath. And here's the apostle in the great book of the gospel, and he is emphasizing the wrath of God. When you get to the end of the Bible, the book of the Revelation, one of the great themes of the book of the Revelation. Remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the revelation of the tribulation. It's not the revelation of the millennium. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. All these things get a mention and get a description. But it is preeminently the revelation of Jesus Christ. And one of the great aspects of the revelation of Christ is the revelation of the wrath of God in connection with the coming of Christ. We read in chapter 6:16 of the chief captains, etc. of the earth, the Christ rejecters calling on the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. We read in chapter 14, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep his commandments, the faith of Jesus. We read that the angel thrust in his sickle to the earth. This is what God's people are waiting for. What is it? He gathers the vine of the earth and casts it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. As Paul did writing to the Thessalonians, John is saying here, God's people are under pressure. The world hates you and the church is trampled underfoot. And it will be trampled under more in the days to come than it ever has been before. But to you who are troubled, rest with us. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16 in Revelation speaks again. Verse 1 of the voice out of the temple, commanding the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of wrath, upon the earth. Chapter 19:15 describes the coming of Christ as the Word of God, and out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that whither He should smite the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Remember what Paul said? We were the children of wrath, even as others. The wrath of God is real. And I want to make it very clear to you tonight. And this is what Paul is making clear. You need to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ, because outside of Christ there is nothing in God but everlasting wrath toward the sinner. This is real. I want you to get this. I don't want anybody to miss this, because we're living on the edge of eternity. Here we stand tonight within a heartbeat of God's eternity. It's not beyond possibility that some of you could be in eternity before the night's over. So could I. The wrath of God against sin is real. It has been revealed. It is being revealed. And it will be revealed, as we'll see, in the coming day of judgment. And you would be absolutely foolish to ignore it. I will be honest with you, I cannot scare you into faith. But I can, by the grace of God, make plain your need. The need of every one of us. Under God's wrath. It's a terrible thing. But listen, if you would be foolish to ignore or explain away the wrath of God, you would be 100 times more foolish to believe it and to ignore the only place of refuge from it. This is our connection. This is why I'm laboring the connection. Paul's whole thesis here, his whole way of dealing with this, is men and women see the reality of wrath. God is not some little pussycat. God is not some white bearded father figure sitting in the heavens benevolently saying, "Oh, poor children, let them do as they will. I would not punish one of those poor little sinners." That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is awesomely, majestically holy. He is just and pure. He has an inward, necessary revulsion against sin. He hates sin with all the energy of His eternal divine being. And because of that, He judges sin. And there is absolutely no escape from the judgment of God on sin. If I could put it, as I have done many times in other contexts, Paul's message here is, every sin of every sinner, from the beginning of time to the end of time, will be paid for, and the wrath of God will wax hot against every sin of every sinner that has ever been committed in the history of this world. Either those sins will feel the wrath of God in Christ, or they feel the wrath of God out of Christ. In Christ, the wrath of God has burned and burned itself out, so that in Him there is a justifying righteousness. Outside of Christ, the wrath of God burns to the lowest hell. And there is no escape. I tell you, you are a fool if you go with the liberal and make a God after your own imagining and deny the God of the Bible and ignore His wrath. But oh, how much more foolish to say yes. Hell is real. The wrath of God is terrible. But I reject the only provision of righteousness, the only place of safety. When people don't think that the fire will reach them, they make crazy decisions. You remember the old man who lived on the slopes of Mount St. Helens? You remember the story? He was told the fire is... Well, he could see there was fire there. Oh, it wasn't going to blow his top. It wouldn't reach him. Everybody else could run away. He didn't need to run away. There's plenty of time. But when that mountain blew its top, if he had been in a corvette, he couldn't have outrun the blast. And he perished. When you read of these raging forest fires in places like Australia, sometimes in the western states of America, once people are convinced the fire is coming here, they run to the place of safety. What I'm here to tell you tonight is there is a place of safety. Not running to some place of man's making, but running to the where the fire has burned itself out. That's the place. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the justified by faith shall live. And it's written that they and they alone shall live, because the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We will return to pursue the subject, but tonight I want you to get this clearly in mind, as I want it in my mind, and never forget it. The wrath of God is real. If you believe that, if you believe that, it must govern what you do with Christ. If you believe that, and you profess to be a Christian, it must govern how you live and how you witness. It is real. May God stamp it on our hearts, driving the lost to Christ and driving the saved to take Christ to the lost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.